When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
For blue-collar workers in this nation are valuable resources. The livelihood and well-being of American families are valuable resources. The ability of America to have our own industry and not be dependent on China is a valuable resource. Why should those things for millions of Americans be sacrificed in favor of your agenda for radical climate change?
Senator, I know that there's like 1.9 jobs for every American in the country right now. So I know there's a lot of jobs.
Wait a minute. You're telling me we've got too many jobs in the country?
Well, I'm saying that we don't have enough people. That's why we are having a hard time finding folks to work at our department.
What?
Are allergies really, really bad, or did she just say that? Because I'm a little spaced out. I'm on some allergy meds. I'm hoping to wind those down here this month. So, and sometimes it just makes you feel like, hey, is that what's happening here?
Oh, man.
I don't know. I'm really confused because it sounded like Kane. It sounded like she said, and hearing this audio, that there's just too many jobs for blue-collar workers out there, and we just don't have enough blue-collar workers. Yeah. Just don't have enough.
That's it.
So it sounded like she said.
That's what she said.
So there you go. Welcome back to the show. I don't even know. Dana Lash here. Your bemused curmudgeon. Deb Holland. That was some sound bites yesterday. Hoo boy. She didn't know a lot. I don't know how else to put it. She seemed clueless on a number of things, and that wasn't the only thing. Because first off, I just want to say, people love jobs. You guys ruined the economy. And honestly, there are a lot of, I mean, I know because I'm trying to get concrete poured. Oh my gosh. You know, it's like a 4-month wait for concrete. Did y'all know that? Oh my gosh. We're expanding the studio and doing all of this stuff, and you would not believe how, people are still dealing with it. Thanks, Biden. Thanks, Democrats, and any Republicans who went along with it. Good heavens. So she also, where's this other soundbite at? Because Josh Hawley, by the way, gave me having a conversation with your toddler vibes from this. Because there, I need to, oh man, audio soundbite 2 had my jaw on my desk. Like legit, I actually had my mouth gaping open listening. I watched this clip yesterday. Audio soundbite 2. This is still Deb Holland, the Interior Secretary. She's supposed to know these things. Listen to this.
On the subject of these sweeping mandates related to electric vehicles that the Biden administration has imposed, including now for our military, the metals needed to make the lithium ion batteries in those vehicles are, of course, lithium, nickel, graphite, and cobalt. Now, can you tell me what nation is the largest producer of refined lithium in the world?
No, I can't.
It's China. Can you tell me which nation is the largest producer of refined cobalt in the world?
No, Senator.
It's China. Do you know what nation is the largest exporter of natural graphite to the United States globally?
No, Senator.
It's China.
Okay.
So in all of these instances, these mandates, your decision to trade off our energy security in favor of a radical climate change agenda is making us more and more dependent on China. And at the same time, you are denying mining, blocking permits for mines in this country that would allow us to develop nickel and copper and cobalt. Why? Why block the development of these resources in our own nation in favor of making us dependent on China.
Senator, are you referring to the Boundary Waters?
I'm referring to the Twin Metals mine in Minnesota. I think that Senator Barrasso was just asking about it.
Yes, near the Boundary Waters, which is an iconic place and, of course, a very valuable ecological system to many plants, animals, species.
Wow. So Deb Haaland, she's the Interior Secretary. And one of the jobs of the Interior Secretary is management of resources. And she has been part of the administration that has been vocally against, or vocally for, the EV stuff, I should say. Promotions, promoting EV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently she doesn't realize, or she, I honestly, can I just say, I don't think that she's qualified for the job. Especially with that demonstration of knowledge. These are incredibly important things. The Interior Secretary literally manages the resources of the United States. And if you're dealing with the resources of the United States, including, you know, lithium and cobalt, and understanding how much we have and how much can even be extracted, and, you know, what the safe practices for extraction are, et cetera, et cetera, which we don't even have anything up right now. So it's a moot point. But part of that also is understanding the importance of those materials as it relates to national security, and knowing what other countries are kind of leveraging their ability and their superior amount of resource of those minerals and their ability to extract them, how that can become a national security issue and how that can be leveraged in order to push subjugation of the United States. And she seems wholly ignorant of that, which is terrifying because that's part of her job. It's like they made a bigger deal. I get it. They were like, oh my gosh, first Native American. Maybe you should have also focused on, you know, does she know what she's supposed to be doing in this position? It's like Pete Buttigieg. He gets to be Department of Secretary of Transportation. Why? Because he has sex with dudes. He's gay. Because he knows nothing about transportation. You can get mad at the accurate characterization of that because I put it in unvarnished terms, but that's the reality of it. He was a diversity hire. He knows nothing about his job. He left it like months into his first year, and he took all this time off. And then according to other members of even Democrats, other lawmakers, he was ignoring all requests for discussion, information, etc., when we are dealing with the supply chain crisis and he's MIA. So, yeah, the administration like didn't focus so much on merit when they were figuring out clearly who's doing what in the administration. They didn't really focus so much on merit, apparently. But she finally was forced to acknowledge that the reliance of Biden's green agenda on these materials that are monopolized by China further strengthens China. Because of the rare earth mining, I know that one of the lawmakers said it was 63%. I've actually read where it's upwards of like 71. The majority of it, regardless, takes place in China. And that by obsessing and forcing everyone to move to renewables, you are without any ability to develop it here within the United States on our own. We do not have any working rare earth element mine at all whatsoever in the United States, and we're years away from having one up. One, that you are developing an over-reliance upon a geopolitical foe. And that's a very scary thing. Even in the best of times, if everyone was best friends, you would still want to be self-sufficient in the event that that situation changed. This is just common sense. I feel like I would kick the crap out of these people at Risk, the game. Oh my gosh. This is like basic 101 government stuff. And the fact that this has to be explained to her, it's just wild. It's just really wild to me. So I don't know. That was troubling to hear that, because it seems like it's like the administration doesn't take it seriously, but you're going to take it seriously. You're going to take it seriously if you have to be forced into buying an EV and you can't afford it. You're going to take it seriously when your energy bills increase because we're strangling off fossil fuels which are renewable. It's literally renewable. I mean, that's, these are all, this is a little serious issue. Yeah, and then when you, I don't even want to talk about when you got to replace the batteries in your EV, because then it's going to be more than the EV is. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't, it, it's not better for the environment. It's not. Speaking of which, did you, Kane shared the story. So in New York, beginning in 2026, they're going to ban gas, natural gas stoves and furnaces in most new construction. Hmm.
Less than 3 years away.
Yeah. It doesn't get cold up there at all, does it? New York, right?
Yeah. It's tropical.
Yeah. Yeah. They, it's the first statewide ban that's passed in the United States. They're going to phase in the mandate beginning in 2026. Any new construction of buildings 7 stories or less. Sorry, fewer than 7 stories. Can we write proper headlines, people? Oh my gosh. Buildings of 7 stories or less. If you can count it, it's fewer. If you can't count it, then it's less. You know, this is what separates us from, like, dogs, is not only our speaking ability and our opposable thumbs, but the idea that we understand the difference between fewer and less. I just hate when journalists don't do this properly. It really angers me. Next to improperly using the phrase beg the question. Nothing irritates me more. I'm sorry, but it, like, it totally just removes my suspension of disbelief in sharing this story with you. Inner bad grammar. Anyway, so the Associated Press says that the law negotiated between the New York governor and all her other Democrats in the legislature in the state budget, they are passing these. Other states, by the way, just to let you know, New York won't be isn't going to be alone for long. Other states are looking at doing this. They're going to phase in the elimination of fossil fuel heating devices. When newly constructed buildings, everything has to have electric powered induction ranges and heat pumps. The people mandating this are not cooks or bakers. I will, if they do this, I will literally make the government come to my house and arrest me and take out my stove. And then because Texas is a castle doctrine state, I will literally, like, make war over my gas range. Because electric stoves are garbage. They are garbage and they heat unevenly and they're horrible tools of Satan. There you go. I hate them to death. I would rather cook over an open campfire and bake in some rudimentary construction around that than use an electric stove. You might think that I'm being a little overdramatic. I like to cook and bake. I hate electric stoves. I had mine ripped out. I had an electric stove and I ripped it out. Yes, I did.
And destroyed it in the backyard like Office Space?
Threw it in my driveway.
That's sweet.
Does that count? I was like, this is trash. I ripped it straight the hell out of my kitchen. Put a good old gas range in there. I don't need anything to be like, press a button and it'll bake your cookies for you. Shut up. Like, who does that? This isn't the Jetsons. I don't want any fancy anything on it. I don't need any, like, digital displays. I don't need it to tweet for me. I don't need it to do any of this stupid stuff. I ride the temperature. I watch it. I do all of that. Nothing gets me. This is one of the things I can talk for 5,000 hours about. Anyone who cooks, I can hear you. If you're real quiet and you listen, you can hear a bunch of people out there going, that's right. You can hear it. Those are my cooks and bakers out there. Yeah, they're not going to be the only state for long doing this. We got to roll.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so, in South Shore, Chicago, a 10-year-old carjacker struck. Can you believe this? Somebody snatched keys from a victim's hand and drove away with their vehicle. This was Thursday of last week. The suspect was described as only someone wearing a furry jacket with a red and black ski mask. But then they, Yeah, because 30 minutes later, literally a few hundred feet away, the would-be carjacker opened a driver's door as they tried to park. And the kid, the police said the offender is 10. He punched the driver in the face and tried to take the car. The hijacking failed. He's 5'7", and no other weapon. Didn't have a weapon, but oh my gosh, 10 years old. And he's out there carjacking. Oh my gosh, I can't even. Big Lots manager in California, two of them are fired because they confronted a shoplifter outside of the store as they tried to get the cart back that he used to boost 15 jugs of laundry detergent. So it's a former Big Lots manager. She says she was fired because she followed a shoplifter out of her Southern California store to retrieve a cart. And the 52-year-old says she and another manager were fired because this person stole 15 jugs of Tide Pods. And she said she was fired a week after the incident. And this was in California. I mean, she's like, for Christmas, we got 40 brand new carts. She says it's March and we're down to 5. We were told no carts are to leave the store whatsoever. No matter what, customers are not allowed to take them, she said. And so she went to get the cart and she ended up getting, that's lame. That is absolute, like, wait a minute. How are you going to sit here and tell your employees, you can't let these leave for no, you know, under no reason at all whatsoever. And then when they actually go to, stop it, then they are fired. That's so stupid. Environmental groups sue the FAA over SpaceX's Texas rocket launch. Shut up. They're mad. They said that because it went over 24 miles, exploded over the Gulf of Mexico. And it's the Center for Biological Diversity. They said they're suing because they said the FAA did not consider the environmental impacts. Shut up. Yes, they did. They asked the court to throw out the 5-year license that the FAA granted to SpaceX. They hate them. They absolutely hate them. I think the hot air that this group is putting into the atmosphere should be fined. Really, ultimately. I would rather argue with the parrot like we had in the Florida dude story than I would talk to any of these people. And Oregon is looking to decriminalize homeless encampments, and they're allowing the homeless to sue for $1,000 if they're told to leave. That's going to solve the problem, won't it? Stick with us.
You also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
Oh my God, though.
What in Cinnamon Toast Crunch hell did I just watch? First off, what's Perry Farrell doing in Congress? When did he get elected? I thought he was like really busy with Jane's addiction. Lynn, once, which was 5. I endorsed you, Lynn. That was, what's her face? Rosa DeLauro.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be convinced that, you know, all right, Perry passes. He passes. He passes as a chick there in a way. So welcome back to the program. Dana Lash. That's her big area. Why don't they just use her? Female crash test dummies? Really? It's that's a thing? That's a thing that she's like really concerned about? We gotta have.
Yeah, first she said female dummies and then crash test dummies.
Yeah, she had to hurry up and I mean, so no one is under the impression that it's me I'm talking about here. So Rosa DeLauro, I'm not making this up, that she actually said that. She praised Mayor South Bend for working to ensure that female crash test dummies are used in vehicle crash testing. Is there?
Oh, my God. I cannot. I can't.
Guys, I think I'm going to play this audio soundbite all the rest of the show. I'm not joking you. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Is there some sort of like significant difference? If you say boobs, what, I mean, for real, like what is the, why is that a thing? Is that actually a thing? Like, why would that be important? I mean, everybody's head gets bashed in the same way if they're not wearing their seatbelt and stuff, right? I mean, I'm just curious as to why that's the thing. I mean, there's certain things that, but she's like, this is my big, because of gender equity with car crash studies. That's what she had said. Oh, man. They don't believe in protecting women's sports, but they do want female crash test dummies. Damn it. Get it right. I mean, women's sports, no. I mean, who cares? But women crash test dummies, that's where we're going to, that's the hill we're on which we're planting this flag. Representative Farrell from California. I'm sorry, DeLauro. She's from New York.
I always felt like female crash test dummies didn't get enough representation.
Well, I mean, I see them in Congress all the time. I think they like mistakenly shipped them to the wrong place. I can make a million jokes here. I'm made of jokes now for the rest of the program on this. I mean, good heavens. You know how you, I mean, there's a, there, you, golly, I can't even, I'm turning into Norm MacDonald right now. I just have three things in my mind that I can't say. None of them I can share. Yeah, sorry, she's from Connecticut, not New York. Representative Perry Fair. I'm Rosa DeLauro. And she says, yes, you know, it's we, she literally said we have to fight the gender inequity amongst crash victims. This is where I'm just, I just think that there's too much time on some people's hands. I mean, it's a damn car crash, right? You're going to get busted up regardless. I mean, there might be a little bit, there might be a couple of differences, but you're going to, this is so goofy. And it's goofy because this is what they're talking about while refusing to protect women's sports. I make this make sense. They won't protect women's sports, but this is their, you know, the female crash test dummies. It's where it's at. I'm telling you. Now, the other remark, audio soundbite 23, from Mayor Secretary South Bend, Poot Booty Judge, Geig. I'm turning into Moira Rose talking about fruit wine. Secretary Mayor South Bend, he was talking about transportation because roads are racist and also the weather. Listen.
Of both profound challenge and historic opportunity for U.S. transportation. On one hand, our transportation systems are still grappling with the consequences of the pandemic, climate change, and decades of disinvestment.
That's all Democrats talk about doing, though, is we need more roads and bridges.
Spend more money.
And also, I mean, a lot of this stuff is state regulated, like with a lot of the, that's the other thing that they don't apparently realize. But it's climate change, Kane. You know, it's made the traffic issues, the transportation problems, you know, because it rains and it makes him have to stay home because he doesn't want to get wet. He doesn't want to, like, walk out, you know, with his little Buster Brown loafers and get mud. You know, I mean, so he stays home. It's climate change affecting transportation because he can't do his job, Kane.
You know, what's upsetting is that the climate changes four times a year. It's really frustrating for somebody like Pete.
Yeah, the climate also changed in Texas. It is cloudy, or it changed here. I don't know. Guys, I can't even almost make fun of it anymore because we pay for this. This is our government at work, if you want to call it that. Man. But I think that it also sounds like they're just trying to justify this department. I mean, what is the point of this department? We have supply issues. We have a lot of hold up at ports, particularly in Los Angeles, to say nothing of rail. Now everyone's paying attention to rail. Notice all the people who got mad at the Keystone Pipeline and demanded that crude be transported via rail. They're not saying anything now. They're all quiet. It's really difficult to talk about it. Now, one of the things that the House passed today, and Kevin McCarthy gave remarks just a little bit ago, the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, 219 to 203, no Democrat supported. But hey, those crash test dummies, though, gender equity and stuff. How are you sitting here arguing about gender equity and you can't even talk about women in sports? That's wild to me. So they passed it. This was a campaign promise that they also had delivered, because the bill they were trying to, Democrats wanted to essentially redefine what Title IX was. And this was introduced by a couple of different Republicans in February. They were trying to get this bill out of committee the last two sessions of Congress, but it wasn't happening because Democrats controlled the House and they weren't letting it on the floor. So now it got to the floor and it's been passed. And you had House Majority Whip Tom Emmer with McCarthy and other Republican leaders. And then Hakeem Jeffries gets up there and saying, he literally said, this issue doesn't exist. He said that. Man, you better be telling that to some of the female athletes. Imagine a man walking out there to the podium, a progressive man. Ladies, the stuff that you're dealing with, your struggles don't exist. We don't see you. That's some misogyny right there. That is some misogyny. And then he's like, extreme MAGA Republicans. What does this have to do with MAGA? You know, a lot of the people that were raising issues and concerns over this were Democrats. Man, what a way to shoot yourself in the foot with your own base, man. Extreme MAGA Republicans. They're just trying to jam their right-wing ideology. Yeah, having a vagina, some real right-wing ideology right there. Woo, boy. Man. But he said it didn't exist. Didn't exist. You know, I do think, we talked about this last segment, and the thought occurred to me during break. Do you think that if people like Gloria Steinem and those other dinosaurs from the Paleolithic era of feminism, do you think that if they came out and were actually talking about this, would it move the needle with Democrats? Would Democrats in power actually have a fight on their hands within their own ideology? Or do they even have that much sway anymore?
I think the media would play favorites, and I think the preferred narrative would get more attention, and the one that isn't preferred would not.
Yeah, perhaps. I have some other audio that I want to play for you, too, here before we get moving. This, because we played 24 coming in, correct?
24, no, we didn't play that yet.
Okay, this was some of the remarks from that this morning. I just wanted to get that in because there were a lot of people and a lot of people that I know for a fact, a lot of people that were turning out to support this were not Republican. Listen to this, and I think you can watch the simulcast too.
On this vote, the yeas are 219, the nays are 203. The bill is passed.
No Democrats.
Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
No Democrat lawmakers, but there were Democrat supporters of this. And they watched their elected officials just completely ignore them. Something else. Now we'll see what the Senate does. Coming up, more reaction to the subsidies for high-risk home buyers. We talked about this first yesterday. Pretty amazing. And the response is not what, I don't know, I think that some of the left is, they're struggling. Also, I'm really tired of all the 2024 stuff, and I really wish that Trump's advisors would attack Gavin Newsom as much as they try to go after, like, actually, you know, good conservative governors. Like, whose side are you on? We got to talk about this.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But we have 1,000 billionaires in America. You know the average tax rate they pay? 8, EIGH%. 8%.
EIGH%. It's A. It reminds me of Joey Tribbiani on Friends. Well, you know, it's a moot point. A moo point? Yeah, it's like a cow's opinion. It just doesn't matter. It's moo. Welcome back to the program. Ah, yes, the President of the United States. I don't even know if that's true that there are 1,000 billionaires in the United States. Are there 1,000 billionaires in the United States? I mean, I don't care. I mean, I'm just happy that somebody can make money and be a billionaire. If I'm not a billionaire, I'm not going to get mad that you're a billionaire. That's kind of, you know, I'm not going to. I don't operate like that. If you have, I don't know what kind of, I was going to name a fancy car and I realized there's some I just don't like. If you have something that I want, it doesn't mean that, to me, I look at it that doesn't mean I can't have it. I just, all these people that go on and on about, oh, it's generational wealth. That doesn't actually exist in the United States. In fact, that was one of the most fascinating, the things that Tocqueville found most fascinating when he was touring through the United States trying to figure out why is it that the American Revolution ended up with such a different result than the French Revolution. And he noted how so many European nations protect generational wealth with tax structures and inheritance and everything else. And he's like, in the United States, it's almost like you're penalized for it. I mean, he didn't say it like that, but that was, you know, basically the intent. He's like, it's like you're penalized, which you are, even back, because there wasn't any, there were no protections for it. And look, I think you should be able to make as much money as you want and can make, and you should be able to do with it whatever you want. Why? I've never bought into that whole Marxist mindset that you have to be ashamed for working hard and wanting to be successful. I get really Dagny Taggart about this stuff. And I loved how in Atlas Shrugged, like, she would still wear her furs and her jewelry and all that stuff out when she, even though it, because the government was making everything heinous, she still, that was like her battle flag. That's what she, to show that she appreciated coming from, you know, creating your work, working hard and enjoying the fruits of your labor. And this is, I mean, you should be, anybody should be able to do that. If you can do it, then why not? Why? And if you want to be able to pass on something to your kids, why is that something to be ashamed of? Because, see, they want you to feel ashamed for working hard, but they feel no shame in wanting something for not working hard. They want something for nothing. And apparently that there's not supposed to be any shame in that. But I don't subscribe to that view. I don't subscribe to that view at all. And that's what they're pushing. That's what Democrats are pushing with us. That's what they're pushing with the budget stuff. That's what they're with all of this. I don't know. I think it's harder to sell people on that when we are in such a bad economic time. It's a lot harder to sell people on this. A lot. So, yeah. I had a thought last night. So we had a very interesting dinner table conversation. And I came up with a really good idea. I'm like, man, what if you had like a sci-fi horror film, AI battling aliens? It's mine. If you steal it, I'm going to come for you. I'm litigious. What if you had AI versus aliens, like fighting? And then I thought, man, I would love to write the screenplay for something like that. But I unfortunately don't know any like of the rocket science terms. You know,
I like, it.
Like sir, the poople snuffleupagus is out and we've got to increase the vex hectares to fix it.
Oh.
Well, that's great. We found a hidden schnocknopity in the back. Oh. I mean, I was thinking like, how would you do it? Cause I don't know any of the technical terms that would be, but that would be, I would watch that. Yeah. And I not intended to be a comedy. Like I want people to be terrified, right? Like AI versus who would win. What if, you know how we were talking about the UFO hearings yesterday? What if aliens are like, these people are about ready to go bananas. Let's help. Right? What if, because the AI, like they're going to get taken over by their AI overlords and stomped into wet smush in the grass. We got to help them. So what if it's that? Who would win? Sounds like a film. I would want to watch it, even though I don't know any of the verbiage, but you know, I want to write the screenplay.
We're not going to increase the debt that every president has done for the last 6 million years here. Never hadn't done anything but that.
What? The next 6 million? Is this his AI thing?
That's our president.
Hmm.
That's our president, everybody.
Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour with you, Dana Lash, your lovable curmudgeon. So it's a little bit, you know, a little bit more relaxed. And so we were kind of laughing about Kamala Harris being named as the AI czar. So, you know, the czar of artificial intelligence.
It's so appropriate.
They said she's going to make sure that the technology is developed responsibly. Do you believe that she's going to be able to do that? She did such a great job as the border czar, you know. I mean, it's no issue there. She did such a great job. We are going to get murked by robots. That's what's going to happen. We are going to get killed to death by robots in the next, like, 6 months. If her work as AI czar is anything like being the border czar. Oh, my gosh. To death.
They'll kill us so hard, we'll die to death.
We're going to get... We're going to go into Matrix hell. So... I'm going to delete it probably after the show, but I did the free trial on ChatGPT because I wanted to see what it's like. And Kane is my grandmother. I think he's possessed by her. He's like, oh, did you go ahead and download the Satan? Just download that demonic device, the Satan device? ChatGPT is the devil.
I'm not wrong.
I'm not going to say I'm listening to. I wanted to ask it. This is what I asked it. I said, write a short summary of what it is like to be unburdened by what has been in the style of Kamala Harris.
Oh, please read it.
Well, it writes, quote, being unburdened by what has been can be a liberating experience. I have to perfect her voice. It allows us to move forward without the weight of past mistakes or regrets holding us back. It's an opportunity to unburden and start anew with an unburdened perspective, a fresh perspective, a renewed sense of purpose.
Maybe she has been using AI.
Is she AI? I mean, I'm just maybe like wondering. Maybe she has been. Yeah, it's a little terrifying. So, and Steve asked her, or asked ChatGPT, same difference, draft a speech by Vice President Kamala Harris in which she talks about restaurants and entrepreneurship. Can you play that soundbite real quick that we just played for Today in These United States last segment? Because this is what we got the idea from, you know, because she is the AI czar. Yeah, yeah, this is what she'd said. So just where we got the idea.
And you know, when I speak with small business owners and entrepreneurs, some of our younger small business owners actually self-identify as entrepreneurs. They're small business owners also. But we'll go with whatever you like. Small business owner or entrepreneurs.
Okay, just go along to get along. So Steve asked it, draft a speech by Vice President Kamala Harris, and when she talks about restaurants and entrepreneurship.
Did not disappoint. She goes, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good. Good evening, everyone. I'm delighted to be here with you today to talk about my two favorite things, restaurants and entrepreneurship, which is spelled wrong. As we emerge from the pandemic, we're reminded of the resilience and determination of the American people, particularly those in the restaurant industry that they shut down. She says that, well, this is ChatGPT. Throughout the pandemic, restaurants have been the heart of our communities, providing a place for us to gather, share a meal, connect, blah, blah, blah. She talks about entrepreneurship, or the ChatGPT thing does. We must also support our restaurants by promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. The restaurant industry has the potential to be catalyst for change, and we must ensure that it's a welcoming and inclusive place for all. Steve wants to ask ChatGPT to have, in the style of Elizabeth Warren, explain her ancestry.
On it right now.
That's, well, he was thinking, I just can't even imagine what that is going to be like. Oh my gosh. My first prompt was, in the style of Kamala Harris, compose a text about why you love McDonald's. She was like, as a lifelong Californian, I've always been a fan of the Golden Arches. I'm like, what does that even have to do with it? Oh my gosh, it's too funny. It's terrifying. This thing is actually terrifying. It really is. I don't really actually, yeah. It is. It's like demonic. It's I don't know. It's weird. So my youngest son, he's like, he goes, well, if the devil's going to be on earth, I think it's AI. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. He goes, it's totally AI.
Absolutely right.
That's weird. I mean, think about it. It's like the worst aspects of humanity, but without the morality, it's all logic. Because, see, even logic, like if you go back to when I was in college, I remember learning about Peter Singer and having to read his books. And he was, he talked about ethics and logic, etc. And ultimately what I learned is that sometimes what is right is not logical. Sometimes what is good is not logical. But there is no sort of algorithm to infuse that knowledge into AI. AI is going to make a decision or, you know, a policy or hold a position based on what is logical and what makes sense, what is mathematically correct, etc. And sometimes good and true aren't necessarily, they don't necessarily fit. And that's the problem. That's kind of like what Singer believes. Like that there were certain things that, you know, certain scenarios that he would discuss and that I would read in these books in class, and they weren't right. Sometimes they would result in the death of an innocent person. But if it was for the benefit of all, well, then that's, of course, you know, that's the end. That is the proper end. So it was one of those things that all the means are justified if it promotes and accomplishes the main goal in the end. That's a terrifying, terrifying, terrifying concept. But that's the reality of this. I mean, a sterile, you know, completely for the most descriptive sense, you know, very sterile, clinical, soulless logic that doesn't recognize nor value morals or ethics. That's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
On that note, your Elizabeth Warren speech is in the Rural Times.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So he asked it, write a speech in the style of Elizabeth Warren in which she talks about her Native American heritage and being a public school teacher. Oh boy. It is so bad.
You have time.
Okay, I do. So Elizabeth Warren in ChatGPT on being an American Indian states, quote, "My fellow Americans, I stand before you today as a proud Native American and a former public school teacher. My heritage and my experience in the classroom has shaped who I am and have driven me to fight for the values that matter most to all Americans. Growing up, my family instilled in me a deep respect for our Native American heritage."
Come on. Come on.
Oh my gosh. I want to ask it, come up with a clam chowder recipe for Pow Wow Chow Part 2. Just to see. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's so bad. That's so bad. But this is, it's actually kind of, it's terrifying and it's.
Go to the last paragraph. Just read the last paragraph of the Elizabeth Warren
thing. Of the Elizabeth Warren,
just
her.
Just the last paragraph.
As ChatGPT.
Yes.
Oh boy. "So today I stand before you as a proud Native American and a former public school teacher, ready to fight for the values that matter most to all Americans. I believe that we can build a better future for ourselves and our children, one where every person has the opportunity to succeed and where our diverse backgrounds and experiences are celebrated and not denigrated." Well, they were denigrated because you're a fake, you blonde-haired, blue-eyed person. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with having blonde hair, blue eyes, but she literally filled out American Indian on her Harvard job application. Oh, my gosh.
Are you arguing with a robot right now?
I am totally arguing with the robot. You are damn right I am. See, this is the problem. Then you're in, like, this cyclical thing of arguing with robots. Man, that thing is actually terrifying. Okay, can we, I need to talk about woke Legos for a minute. Because I hate everything. Here's where we are. So Lego has launched a gender neutral range in what they say is a bid to break stereotypes. Okay, your plastic blocks. Ooh. I'm really confused as to why they would need to announce anything, but okay. But that's, I mean, they're plastic blocks. I don't know what that means. So they said that, it's really big in Australia. So this is where it's like first, because it first hit a couple of years ago, but it's like really, apparently they're introducing this now in like Australia. So it's making news again. They're Danish and they've already pledged to remove gender bias from their toys. I don't even understand what gender bias is. I mean, have you seen the Lego people? I can't tell you the chick from the dude. You know why? Because they're yellow blocks. Okay. They don't even have like genitals. Not that, I mean, it shouldn't even matter, but you know, whatever. Your minifigs don't have genitals because they're minifigs. And your minifig doesn't have a minifig. Anyway, they actually never expanded on what they're going to modify. They're just like, yeah, we're going to gender focus, you know, whatever. And so now they've been pushing this. Daily Mail has the story. They've launched it in Australia. They have here's the name of the collection. Lego Dreams. Yeah. Lego Dreams. Dreamzzz. And it's going to include a Pegasus. Why do you need to say Pegasus horse? Stop it. A blue and pink bunny called Bunchu and a nightmare shark ship. And none of this looks like anything I would want to play with as a chick. It all looks kind of dumb. The Juan has some of it in the simulcast if you're watching. Is the bunny is the kooky little thing with the, it has wings. Like, what would you even do with this? Now, I'm going to say the nightmare shark ship looks kind of cool. Like, looks kind of cool. But you don't have to be like, oh, we got to put some pink on this or some blue on this. Let's put some yellow and blue and pink to make it more. Just stop with it, because then it just looks stupid, right? Nobody's going to, if you're going to have a cool looking shark ship, you're not going to make it pink and all that. You know why? Because it's a shark ship, you morons. You're going to try to make it look like the color of the sky. You're going to try to make it look like the color of the water. I mean, is this also something that's going to be able to traverse sky through water, like, seamlessly? I just think that you would want to make it look like that instead of trying to virtue signal so hard about bits and pieces that you're going to put colors like pink on it. It's so stupid. That's like having pink camo, which I don't think is dumb. If you like it, that's fine. But, you know, I don't know. I just, the whole thing, but it's called Lego Dreams is... And it's going to have gender. They have a show. They're going to be launching a TV show in Australia May 15th. And it's going to have gender inclusive characters. I don't even know what that means. Why? This is so goofy. And I honestly, I don't know why they think, who decided to make these things and call it non-binary or call it gender neutral? The bunny just looks stupid. I wouldn't play with that. It looks dumb. I love Legos as a kid. I wouldn't play. That's stupid. I don't.
When grown up playing Legos, and even with my kids growing up playing Legos, there was a lot of imagination that went into this, mm-hmm. right? So I think this whole gender neutral crowd, their imagination can then imagine that these blocks are gender neutral. Why do we have to have the company do all this? To me, it doesn't make any
if
sense.
If everything you make looks like Pepto-Bismol, and Easter eggs, it looks stupid. Stop it. I can't. It's so dumb. All right, we've got more. It is mind-numbingly ridiculous, the links to which these companies go to. I just wouldn't play with any of this. I'm looking at some of the images of these. I just wouldn't play with any of it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, the North Carolina House has approved a measure banning, this is from the Hill, banning abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. This falls below the 15-week, I think it's the 15-week average as to where when you poll, even Democrats, when you poll both of them, that they kind of land on. It came yesterday. The House vote came a day after Republicans in both of the legislative chambers announced they reached an agreement. The state's current limit is at 20. Now they're moving to 12. So we'll see, you know, if that goes through. Also, half of the United States are worrying about the safety of their money in banks. I just keep thinking of the central system. 48% of U.S. adults say they're concerned about their money. 19% are very worried. 29% are moderately worried. 30% say they're not too worried. 20% not worried at all. This is a Gallup survey that was conducted between April 3rd through the 25th, a month after the SVB and Signature Bank collapses. And this now, you have like the First Republic Bank. There are others that are being considered as well. We have a lot more. I didn't mean to be short here, but we went a little long with the fun with ChatGPT in the first segment.
Girlhood becomes stronger when there's more of us behind it.
Only certain people are allowed in, but who's allowing?
What's on your guys' chin?
That's the real question.
Who is? You know? I don't. Maybe there isn't one.
What's on their chin?
What's part of it? Do you have any relationship to the concept of girlhood?
Absolutely do. I find girlhood to be inspiring. There are a lot of human beings girls who transcend what their gender is supposed to be.
There are a lot of human beings that are girls.
And that to me is something
reminds
I draw
me
strength
New Kids on the Block
from.
Song. I met a lot of people and girls. There was an actual line from it. I have no idea why I remember that. What in the 5 o'clock shadow hell did I just watch? And play for all of you listening. I need a moment. Oh my gosh, let me put a hand over my mouth. Welcome back to the program. What happened to the segment? It's gone. Dana Lash here with you. You're bemused. Curmudgeon. And this was, that was like a conversation that Dylan Mulvaney had with this guy named Jeffrey Marsh, who looks like a super groomer. And I think he like wanted to, Lorraine said he wanted to help kids transition with other parents knowing. You know, here, it's really hard for me to accept your cosplay as a chick. When you just like, can I just be, when you just half-ass it. You don't even shave? Like you got a 5 o'clock shadow. Is that on purpose? To remind, because you don't even have to have that. You still look like a dude. You still sound like a dude. You don't need, it's almost like they keep that on. Like sometimes how women just have hairy armpits and then they pose on Instagram with their hairy armpits everywhere just to show you how edgy they are. Look at my hairy armpit. I just, why? I feel like that's kind of the same thing in a way. What they were doing with that. But what did Marsh say that a lot of humans are girls? You think? What in the world? Okay, so this gets us to that Bud Light story, because apparently in Hell's Kitchen, Bud Light sales dropped 60% draft. Bottle sales dropped 70%. Again, this is in Hell's Kitchen, New York. First time I was ever in Hell's Kitchen was for Wendy Williams. First time I was ever, I did any kind of TV was with Wendy Williams, who was a very gracious hostess. And she was a pioneer in female radio, and I'd fight anybody. She had a whole wig room. It was amazing. I've never seen a woman who had everything so dialed down. But this is in Hell's Kitchen. They have a pretty sizable, pretty vocal gay community in Hell's Kitchen. 70%. Like the gay community is mad at Bud Light. So but here's the thing. You've seen the sales drop, but you haven't seen them increase. Where are all the trans people just drinking up that Bud Light? Huh? I mean, Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch went to this great extent. You had this, the VP of Anheuser-Busch, who had gone out and said that they were, how did she put it, trying to combat the fratty and out-of-touch branding. And she noted that younger demos weren't drinking beer, particularly Bud Light, which sounded more like younger demos just didn't want to drink crappy beer. I don't think it's a problem with beer per se. I think they didn't want to drink what you call beer. You know, your trans beer. So I think they did the least they could do. And they quietly partnered with, I think, the most offensive cartoon-like caricature of women's behavior that they could find, Dylan Mulvaney. I mean, honestly, if one of my girlfriends was acting like him, I think I would probably like try to bake or act her. I think I would. But notice how the people who are flipping out over the Bud Light stuff, like, well, would you have Chasten, Mr. Poot Buttigieg, who said, quote, if you're upset about a beer company supporting civil rights, you might want to start bottling your tears. LGBTQ people drink water too. Going to boycott that next? That was so dumb. But how many people don't understand the concept of civil rights? I mean, progressives have so bastardized this definition that it's like thrown out as a red card every time they don't get something that they want. I mean, we're at the point where even the mere refusal to purchase another woman's birth control pills means that you're somehow denying her a civil right. That's so dumb. So what civil right is Bud Light? What were they supporting again? I don't know. Like, what civil right were they supporting? I mean, nobody, and no, it's like watching Elizabeth Warren drink beer. Nobody believes you. Nobody believes that. I don't believe that he drinks beer. So I think the Gillette sponsorship would probably be more appropriate for that 5 o'clock shadow. I'm just saying. Yeah, what right, as Kane asks, does the trans community actually have? What do they not have? Exactly. Okay, can we talk about the ballet dancer? Okay, full disclosure. There's certain things I get really snotty about. Eyeliner. If I see, like, you know, some of these third waivers who don't know how to do a smoky eye, it's like petty stuff, right? I get real snotty about, you know, my dog. I get really snotty about ballet. I had 17 years of my life were spent studying classical ballet. I was in the classroom every day. I was every day at the bar. Constantly. There was always workshops going on, all kinds of stuff. And it is incredibly grueling. I think a lot of the discipline that I have in life comes from that. It gives you, you have to be disciplined. And it is a sacrifice, and it very much is, it is super competitive. And you do have to absolutely have discipline. And there, it is a beautiful art form. I think it's absolutely beautiful because it emphasizes, you know, the God's creation, the human form. And it's very male and female oriented, very unapologetically so, celebrating, especially with a pas de deux, the two sexes, etc. And it's about, you know, emphasizing movement and form and the gracefulness. And they are very, ballet schools are very discriminatory in terms of merit, physical ability, for a reason. You know, just like the military is discriminatory, they want the best fighting force. You want the best performers. And now we have this story of a man who changed his name to Sophia Rebecca, a former rally driver and IT technician, was the first, I don't believe in the phrase trans woman, to pass exams at the Royal Ballet Academy, which changed its rules in 2013 to allow dudes in. He is 6'3". 6'3". And I was watching the side-by-side video of him with another ballerina. There's no way he can go on point. No. His turnout, just the video that Juan is showing in the simulcast, he has zero turnout, zero technique. I don't even know how you can be admitted into the Royal Ballet Academy when I feel like I'm watching Jim Carrey perform on Mad TV as Vera, right? Remember that with the little pigtails? No joke. No upper body gracefulness, no movement. His toes stick entirely in. It is heinous, and it is a mockery of the art form. For the sake of what? This would have been, it would have been an SNL skit. It's like, it's Pat from SNL. It's a mockery of the form. Not everyone, not even all women can do ballet. And it doesn't even matter about weight or anything else. Sometimes you can be a very lanky, lithe woman who is the perfect height. You can't be super tall, who's the perfect height, etc. But you just have zero, coordination or grace, right? It's very, not every woman can do it. Not every man can do it. But to see this accommodated and shoved in people's faces, to me, it's a mockery of the form, because what I'm watching is not a mastery of the skill. And I don't even see an attempt to master the skill. If someone wants to do something on their own time, whatever. But to force it on everyone and to say that, I just want to know, what is the skill set of class that he's in? And he's 6'3". How do you partner with someone? Right? The technique that ballerinas develop, there's a reason why you spend the majority of class on bar exercises, doing basic movements that work everything from your turnout in your ankle all the way up to your knee, all the way up to your hips, keeping your hips completely level, depending if you're in an arabesque or whatever you're doing. There is a reason. These are drilled into you. The saying was always that a ballerina can tell if she misses a lesson in one day. The instructor can tell if it's several days, and the audience can tell if it's a week. I mean, it is a very strict discipline. And it is something that, you know, girls start when they're young. By the time, you know, if you're entering ballet when you're 3 or 4 years old, but you're not even ready really to go on point. I mean, it's early if you're 13, 14. Because they want to make sure that your ankles are strong, that you have good turnout, so that you're not injuring yourself. And even then, I was talking to a friend of mine, her daughter just qualified to go on point. And they, now they have these amazing silicone toe pads because it is, you know, it's paper mache. It's a hard box and it scratches up. Your toes bleed. One of my friends lost her toenails. I mean, it is a very, you know, it's a rite of passage for ballerinas. We had to use just like a little bit of lamb's wool. We had our ballet instructor, and I thought he was fantastic, by the way. He was incredibly strict and super condescending, and I loved him. But you would just use like a little bit of lamb's wool. I try to hide. Sometimes I try to cheat, and I would sneak off and try to put a toe pad in. Uh-uh. No, you didn't do that. That wasn't allowed. Now they have silicone pads. They wanted you, the true ballerina, he would say, wants to feel the floor through the bottom of her shoe. And I know I see this guy. It's not ballet. And I get really snotty about it because I think that there are some things that celebrate uniquely the women's form and the gracefulness of humans. And I don't see that in this. I don't see that at all. Can you imagine somebody like doing, you know, trying to, it's like, I see like Phelan Fox going into MMA or trying, you know, UFC won't tolerate it. That's a dude who used to fight as a dude, and he treats the women's leagues like they're JV, and he identifies as a woman now, and he goes and tries to beat up women. And he got into it. There were some people trying to criticize Ronda Rousey because Ronda Rousey was like, I have no interest in fighting Phelan Fox. And why would she? I mean, it's a dude who gets in a ring and thinks that a couple of years of hormone therapy are going to fix everything that nature has done, including puberty. But this, I mean, I don't know. I love ballet. I think it's one of the best things that humans have done in terms of artistic expression and the discipline and the no-nonsense and the strict separation of the sexes and celebrating them each in their unique likeness. And to see it made like a joke like this is just it's actually offensive. And it's an insult to all of the young women and the young men who... And don't think that guys who go into ballet are, you know, they're all gay. In fact, they're all players. Most of them are players. But it's an offense to all these, you know, these people, young adults and teenagers and even kids who are genuine in their study and spend so many years of their lives perfecting this, getting the reflexes correct, the turnout, training their bodies where it's muscle memory. And then like this, what is he going to get a partnership next? I swear, if like block shoes... or Danskin or somebody, I will scream. We got to move on.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first one, it's like Fight Club for the classroom. A Florida middle school teacher, a Florida woman, hosted student fights in her classroom at Griffin Middle School. Middle School. She was accused of organizing fights, according to WCTV in Tallahassee. She was identified as the teacher at Griffin Middle School. She's facing charges for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. For what court documents say, I mean, it literally was like a fight club. The first rule about fight club is you don't talk about fight clubs. So somebody talked. They said that several sixth grade girls told detectives that they had participated in planned fights during school hours, and they alleged that they were invited back for additional fights. They also said that she made statements like, and the teacher, Angel Footman, 23 years old, she apparently made statements including 30 seconds, no screaming, no yelling, no phones. And a detective indicates in a probable cause affidavit that he reviewed videos and identified her sitting at her desk, failing to intervene, and making statements like no screaming, no nothing, stop pulling hair. I mean,
I'm on the fence about this.
Why are you on the fence? I mean, at least she was pulling hair is not like a legitimate fight tactic. Come on.
Of me is entertained by the whole idea, I think.
It's Fight Club for the class.
And then the other part is like, you shouldn't
have you
be
seen
doing
like the bad behavior of some of these kids, though? You know, I'm like, Anyway, so she's in trouble. She said she didn't organize them, but she said that she didn't want to intervene. So now she faces four counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. It's like a middle school fight club. There you go. A drunk Florida man swears at children in Disney and then threatens police officers. Just another Disney day. He was arrested at the resort in Orlando, the magical place. So apparently the drunken man, he was visiting Disney Springs, the shopping and dining center. 30-year-old Edward Stevenson, he pled not guilty to trespass, according to Orange Circuit Court records. He claimed to be a registered nurse and while he was threatening law enforcement, and he wasn't, apparently. So, he was being belligerent and cursing at kids and making inappropriate comments to minors at the toy store. So that wasn't good.
Okay, well, listen, Twitter was already under fire for misinformation, disinformation, all-out lies, anti-Semitism, right. Racism, before Elon Musk took over, and now it's gotten kind of crazy, right? Seemingly unmoored, if you will. Will anybody be able to police what Carlson says, or is this the point? It's just a free-for-all.
I think this is the point. It is a free-for-all. It's what Elon Musk wants to provide. This move by Tucker may cement the idea of Twitter as a right-wing website.
It's a social media platform that you're on. So are you a right winger, Stelter? I'm just curious. I'm curious how this works.
How can we have a free-for-all?
Yeah, what is... He's going to be on Twitter? It's a free-for-all. Can't have a free-for-all.
Oh, my God.
It can't be for all.
We're free.
Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you. Your lovable curmudgeon, always bemused, perpetually. And you can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the program, and you can watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So they're upset. They're upset, Kane, because... And the thing is that Tucker Carlson hasn't even said that he's doing anything yet. He just said that, you know, they're coming back, and it looks like he's going to do some kind of thing on Twitter, maybe. And then Elon Musk said nothing's been signed. So I don't know why everyone at Alphabet Network is getting so upset. I mean, it just doesn't. That's kind of what Twitter's a social media platform. It's not a website. I mean, I guess you could say that if you wanted to be like super general about it. But it's a social media platform. That's all it is. People simply use it. Progressives use it. They changed their algorithm to be more lefty. It's going to be a right wing. Say right wing. If they don't ban the right, then it's right wing. That's how the left views speech. If it's not banned, then it's right wing. And everything that we disagree with is right wing. Can you imagine living your life so beholden to the herd? Jiminy Christmas. It just doesn't, no. They're just so uncomfortable with having to coexist. Isn't that their big thing?
Yeah.
Coexist. They just want to coexist. It's so... Yeah. This is bumper sticker talk. It's all it is. Okay, so he hasn't come out with any other video or anything like that. I just do think it's super... super interesting. All right. So some of the other stuff I wanted, because we got a lot of audio today. What do I even want to get into? Because we got so many Biden things. Audio soundbite 14. The debt ceiling, they wheeled out Dianne Feinstein. The left is mad. When are they not? And Biden was trying to, I think, fabricate some kind of insult for Republicans about spending, and it just sort of fell apart. Listen to this.
I'm not being solicitous. What we should be doing, and I'm proposing when I try to finish this job, I'm proposing that we, for example, if we start instead of Head Start, which they want to cut 21,000 Head Start spots in this state alone, we should be sending, all the studies show that if we sent, no matter what the background of a child, if we sent that child to a school at age three, learning reading, writing, arithmetic, age three and four and five, we end up increasing by 56% the chance they'll graduate from high school and go on beyond high school.
Where in the world was he going with that? He was trying to hit Republicans on spending, and it didn't work. Just like it didn't work when he tried to like figure out how to get off the stage, Audio Soundbite 15, after he made these remarks. We could, Kane said yesterday, we could do a video, a whole video montage. How many minutes do you think we could get out of this?
20, 30.
Of him not being able to find his way off a stage. Because they tell you this when you go on the stage. You enter this way, you exit this way. Exit stage right or exit stage left. This is just funny. You can hear the music playing. I don't know which way to go. Someone, it's like, yes, you come literally this way. He's like, oh, okay, I'll follow you very slowly. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It really doesn't. I mean, man, you can say what you want, but it doesn't look good. All right, so I have a million things that I want to make sure that we're hitting. So San Francisco, here's one. I saw this and I wanted to get this when he was, I was actually going to save this and I was going to do a piece on this, but when his talk about education, et cetera, made me want to hit this story. So do you remember back, this was in 2014, I think. And I'm looking at this thing, there was this Annenberg University study that just came out. Recently came out talking about math instruction in San Francisco. So do you remember back in something like 2013, 2014, San Francisco, they wanted to approach math equitably. Do you remember this before you started really hearing the word equitable everywhere? The city of San Francisco wanted to approach math in an equitable manner. Now, what does that mean? They were making the argument, this is in San Francisco, they were making the argument that minority students were struggling with math. They were behind white and Asian students. And they basically blamed it. Not basically, they did. They blamed it on them being minorities. I'm not making this up. This is San Francisco. So before 2014, and there have been a couple of places that touched on this. Reasons touched on this. I think Red State wrote about it. Before 2014, kids had to, you had to do, you know, you have like advanced math or you have, you know, just like regular everybody else math. And if you were on the advanced track, like AP, then you would take algebra in your eighth grade year and go from there. And then a lot of kids, and this is like this in a lot of schools across the country, then they would start algebra their ninth grade year, right? And it meant that by the time that some kids got to their senior year, they were in calculus. So, and they do this with a number of subjects. And that obviously, because a lot of colleges, especially if you're going into an engineering, computer science, whatever, you have to have like pre-calc or calc, right? And they thought that because there were fewer minority students who were on the AP track to take algebra in eighth grade and then be able to get into calc their senior year, they thought that that was inequitable. That was unfair. So they redid their curriculum. This is San Francisco schools. They redid their curriculum. I think, and this is a reason piece. I think it was like in 2014. And they then required, now get this, that all students wait and take together algebra in their ninth grade year. Now, they were saying that, well, if we would have, if all the kids were learning together, then some of the lower, you know, the students who were making lower grades in the subject, it would help improve their grades in the subject. And they actually even did more because students that were taking Algebra 1 prior to even going into high school privately, even if they could take a test, even if they could test out of the class, they still had to take the class regardless. So say that during the summer between your eighth and ninth grade year that you wanted to fulfill that requirement so you could take calculus when you were a senior and you decided to do a summer course, Algebra 1 summer course. Well, then by the time you got to, you know, school started in the fall, ninth grade, Didn't matter if you got an A in that private course over the summer. Didn't matter. Or summer school class. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if you take the test and test out of it. You were required to take it regardless. You know, because equity. They were punishing you for wanting to get ahead. So Stanford did this survey because the reason that all these, you know, these San Francisco schools were saying that it was going to close the achievement gap. Well, they finally did a survey on it, a study on it. And guess what? It didn't. It didn't at all. They said that large ethno-racial gaps in advanced math course taking remained. They said that they studied how there was a lot of participation in accelerated options, and the schools were looking to reduce the disparity, and what they found is that it all remained anyway. It didn't do a damn thing except penalize the students who were advanced. And here's what gets me. The whole point of this, they said, was to help the students who were underachievers. Now, why did San Francisco not choose to approach this by just teaching better? I think that there are some instances in which students fall behind, maybe because there is a learning hurdle or however you want to put it. But in some instances, it's because of just bad teaching. I remember when I was in school, the younger teachers who were just coming up and coming into schools were the ones everybody wanted to have as their teacher. Because the older ones that had tenure, who were like, I had an algebra teacher that really reinforced my hatred of math. He was a jackwagon. I could not stand this guy. He was rude. He was condescending. He did not like to explain anything to anyone. And he would, when he would challenge students to go up to the board, he would literally ridicule you. He was a horrible teacher. He had tenure, though. And the other teachers hated him, but you couldn't get rid of him. Nobody wanted to have this guy for math. And I had a friend who actually delayed a math course, and put herself back so she didn't have to take him our sophomore year of high school. It was wild. There are some bad teachers out there. And this sounds kind of like, if you're having students of different demographics that are struggling with math, then why don't you figure out how you can improve that by teaching better instead of lowering the bar for everyone? Because what you're saying is that you don't believe that these students are capable of meeting the expectation of an advanced placement class, of an accelerated math course. They're just giving up. They're not even going to try with these kids. That wasn't even their first option. They didn't even try with these kids. They didn't try to help these kids get into these accelerated math courses and succeed. They didn't do anything to prepare them. They just decided to take them away for everyone in eighth grade. Tell me how that's not racism. Because you're just, they're not going to meet this expectation, so let's lower the bar for everyone. How is that not racist? It is. It's a rhetorical question.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This story cracks me up. A missing Australia woman survived 5 days on wine and lollipops, say authorities. They rescued her in the wilderness. She survived for 5 days, this woman in the Australian wilderness, thanks to a bottle of wine and some lollipops. The 48-year-old, who is only referred to as Lillian, went on vacation to Bright Australia last month. Her family, though, was alarmed soon after she didn't make her daily call to check in with her loved ones on April 30th, according to Victoria Police. Police say their air wing spotted her car at the end of a dirt road, and they said that it was about 60 kilometers from the nearest town. A police van was directed to her location, and she was safely rescued. And they actually saw her there, and they can see her waving up, and she's just like in the middle of this clearing. It's hysterical. But at the same time, she was trying to get to the Dartmouth Dam when she realized she had taken a wrong turn. Then her car got bogged down in mud. She didn't have a cell signal, no way to call for help. She couldn't move her car. She could use the heater for warmth. And so it was only supposed to be a day trip. So she just brought some snacks and lollipops, and she didn't have any water. And she doesn't drink, but she had to turn to a bottle of wine she brought for her mom, which is kind of funny. They said that she stayed with her car. She didn't wander off, which was smart, and that helped police find her quickly. So they rescued her, and she was very grateful, they said, to see man alive. Goodness. The president says that power plants have to reduce pollution by 90% or shut down. The EPA announces strict guidelines for their green agenda. Imagine that. That's... Yeah, I know. I mean, just go ahead and just give China a leg up on us, will ya? And by the way, they've already done so much to reduce it anyway. I mean, more so than any other nation. So, let's see. This... 10 million gallons of partially treated wastewater, so some of it's still fresh, was released into Mount Hope Bay in Fall River, Massachusetts. 10 million gallons of partially treated wastewater. A circuit breaker failed at the regional wastewater treatment facility. The water bypassed all the pumps, and they said it's bad. They said it was really bad. Sunday night, officials said that they did finally reset the breaker and it was working correctly. But between the spill and heavy rain, they said that they had to close the section to Mount Hope Bay for the next week or so. Ooh. Do you have to like go in and scrub all the pumps and everything, I'm wondering? Like, how does that work? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that works. I just, I don't know. Also, there were 160,000 rounds of ammo that were stolen from Ohio police recently. The Ohio Police Division Columbus police said that it was stolen from a warehouse on the west side and that when the division noticed the delivery was short, it contacted the shipping company. They said everything had shipped and the ammunition was stolen before making it to CPD's facility. It was rifle ammunition. So they said that there were two others involved in the warehouse theft last month linked to the incident, according to Columbus Police. We have a lot more in store. Stick with us.
You know, I think about innovation as being the pursuit of that, right? The pursuit of what makes us more efficient, more accurate, faster, right? More relevant to the needs of the people. We don't engage in innovation because we're bored with things the way they've been. It's the pursuit of doing things better than we have done.
Oh, God.
And seeing what is possible unburdened by what is
bad. Oh, my gosh! Why? Every time that line! Stop! Oh my gosh. Unburdened by what has been. So we can see the future unburdened by what has been. Every speech, Kane. Welcome back to the radio program. You can watch the simulcast. It's National Government Theft Day. Hashtag abolish the IRS. Hashtags don't work in real life, Dana. Shut up. And we're in a mood. I say collectively because I bring everyone with me. We're in a mood today.
Yeah.
Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack. I have no idea what's going to come out later today because it just we're in a mood, I'm telling you.
Yeah, whatever it is, it'll be unburdened.
Unburdened
by what has been.
Oh, my gosh. No one steps in and is like, psst. No.
Right.
Stop it.
She has no friends.
Stop saying that. Or, you know what? Or people hate her and they want her to say it because she looks stupid. Should I say that again? Should I say yes? Say it, Madam Vice President. It's an amazing phrase. You should say it multiple times in the same speech. It's so good. Okay, it's good to know. I mean, that's the only honestly thing that I can think of at this point. I have no idea.
So I have 14 separate occasions since May of last year.
No.
That she has said this.
No.
That exact line.
Really?
Unburdened by what has been.
14 times.
Yeah. And that's just from what I've seen on Twitter. That doesn't, I may be missing some.
Unburdened by what has been. That's going to be like her epitaph. Unburdened by what has been. I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean? It's words,
unburdened.
Dana, organized in a certain way that make me sound like I'm saying something of substance.
To not be burdened by history?
I don't even know, man.
By that?
Everything is, why is everything stupid? Because, Dana, it is. All right. Go ahead and play this audio. Who is this? This is, we just thought it was funny the way he said the alphabet thing.
Yeah.
This is Jemima Gomez. Yeah. And
Democrat Rep. Jemima Gomez.
I don't know. We just started making fun of this audio soundbite on break. That's it. Listen.
Republicans are attacking trans and other LGBTQ kids. And it shows exactly who they are. Bigots and bullies. And
bigots
I said that
and
once,
bullies.
And I'll say it again.
Bigots
and bullies.
It sounds like a club. Right?
Like bogeys and grinders.
Yeah. Bigots and bullies. Like if I was doing it in, what was that SNL skit? Where he, like, Stefan hit all the club names?
Right.
Welcome to Bigots and Bullies, where DJ Baby Bok Choy has knees like biscuits and spins the hits. like that. Bigots and bullies.
In an old Payless shoe store.
Yeah, it's in an old Payless shoe store. You have to get your tickets out of a broken gumball machine. Wait, did he say the AI thing after?
He did not.
What was that? You added something onto that.
Kids are attacking trans and other LGBTQ.
LGBTQ, okay.
LGBTQ. So there's LGBTQ, which stands for queer questioning.
All I know is every LGB I know does not want to be with the other letters.
That's actually true.
Yeah. But then you said there was more letters. Like, are any of them barbecue?
No.
BBQ? No?
That would be helpful and probably garner more support.
I would totally support BBQ.
Oh, for sure. So
delicious.
LGBTQ, like I said, uh-huh. queer and questioning is what the Q stands for. Intersex is I. A is asexual.
What?
Yes.
Is that?
Intersex.
Is that a movie?
It's opposite of outer sex.
No, inner. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm thinking of inner space.
intersex.
Or Inception. What is, hang on, I gotta, oh, do I want to Google this? No.
We haven't even got to the fun parts of all
these acronyms.
I actually
have to do this to my job. Okay. So wait a minute. This doesn't make sense either. It says that intersex is a general term used for a variety of situations. Mm-hmm. What? In which a person is born with reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit the boxes of male or female. Like hermaphrodites?
I guess so.
Okay. And the other letter?
And then, of course, it's the asexual. That's where the A comes from. And then two-spirit. If you ever see the two S in that acronym.
Shut up.
It stands for two-spirit.
That you are possessed?
I don't think
we
that's what
legion.
They mean.
What?
By that. I don't think that's what they mean by that.
Cast you out, devil. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know. I was
but
like
you're
going
of,
over.
You're of two spirits, which sounds like a binary spirit system.
So like, wait a minute. Let me, oh gosh. If I don't Google this really fast, the internet is going to go overboard and telling you gleefully. I know how you people are. Okay, so apparently, so you can only, oh, what? I'm more confused now after I looked. Is this helpful? No, it's not, Google. It's not helpful. Two spirit. What?
Yes.
That's what it says. Two spirit, also two spirit, or two S, or occasionally two spirited, is a modern pan-Indian umbrella term used by some indigenous North Americans to describe what? Native people in their communities who fulfill a traditional third gender ceremonial and social role in their cultures. That is like even more confusing.
A shaman?
So, oh, okay. So you are a person who can have both a masculine and a feminine spirit. Oh my gosh.
I just wrote
5,000 skits in my head. What? Yes. This is nuts. Pun intended. What? That sounds like possessed.
It does.
I can hear my grandma already from beyond the grave. That's of the devil. Devil.
I think they're adding more and more to it every year. There's like more.
Yeah, because Lorraine just dropped in. Oh my gosh. So she put this, she moderates the chat and she's a contributor at Chapter and Verse. Okay, so Kane, let's see. There's a lot of letters here.
We got the two P's in there. Yeah,
yeah.
We got the two P's.
It's LGBTQQIAAPPO2S. It sounds like a very bad passcode.
That is. That's going to be my next password.
It's LGBTQ2S.
LGBTQ.
Oh, wait. Fae folk? I don't even know what that is. We're not. This is now it's like a True Blood show.
Fae folk?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get over the two-spirit thing. So the two-spirit is if you have a male and a female spirit.
Sounds binary.
It sounds binary. Yeah. Oh, you just stumbled upon. So how does the two-spirit thing?
Yeah, how does non-binary and two-spirit square up with each other? That's weird.
We are spirits in a material world. I just don't. No, right now, how does that work? This is why it gets the, I don't know what, wait, let me, they have a flag. So if you're two-spirited, then your body houses a masculine spirit and a feminine spirit. Okay. What?
I think we all have that ability.
So it sounds like you're possessed. Well, I really want this, but, you know, Stan, who is my male spirit, wants this.
Damn it, Stan!
I don't know. I'm at actual loss of words here. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They added K to it, too.
I don't even want to know what that means. Is that knight? Like, they identify as a medieval person? I don't know.
That'd be nice if it was, but it's not. It stands for kink.
What? Why does that have to... Look, you don't need a flag for everything in your life, okay? You don't need that. Like, for instance, you know, going back to BBQ, I like the St. Louis style. I like a dry rub. I don't like to put my meat in soup that I call barbecue. I'm so sorry, Carolinas. I love you to bits, but God love you. No, I can't. Oh, man, I'm going to get more hate mail over this than I will have gotten anything in my career. Almost the first time I got more hate mail was when I said I didn't like Sammy Hagar. And I almost...
Why do you say stuff like that in public?
I'm not in St. Louis now, so I can say that. But I thought literally I was going to get beaten to death. So I was afraid. I was afeared for my life. So, but I will say this. You don't need a flag for everything. So if I like a dry rub barbecue, does that mean I get a special flag for that? Or is it only related to how you like to have the sex? I don't know. Like, of all the things to have flags for, that's what you go with, right? I like these types of genitals, so I need this flag to represent that. Can you just go on with your life and not, you know, it's literally like the Worldwide Privacy Tour, but with sex, right? I feel like it's nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's like that scene from Jurassic Park. See, nobody cares. It's like that. Nobody cares. Stop. And don't add any more letters on. I don't even know what this stuff means. I feel like I'm reading like a True Blood scene. Polyamory, omnisexual, two-spirit feller over here. I mean, what is that even? What? And doesn't two-spirit negate everything else? Because it's a binary thing. That sounds like possession. Okay. Six more Bidens. Golly, there's six more. They may have gained from the family business scheme, says James Comer. Oh, what? We know this. Man, they've been making fat bank. Thousands of pages of financial records related to the Biden family, their companies, their associates, their business schemes, all made available to members of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. They are still investigating all of this. And there's still an unknown Biden who received four payments in 2017. $70,000. The brother got six figures. Even the daughter-in-law got thousands of dollars. All related to the CEFC China Energy Company, the CCP Energy Company. Remember that? They wired millions to a Biden family associate, and then he divided it up amongst the family over about 3 months. How is that not a national security concern? Because you have the president of the United States whose family is, I mean, that is a direct cash path. Those are receipts. That's the paper trail showing that they made money off the CCP. That's incredibly significant here. That is an absolute national security issue, particularly when he's pushing these policies to make us more dependent upon China. I'm telling you what.
How many people that work in Homeland Security have been accountable for breaking the law? And do you believe that the government looking at private messages on Twitter is a violation of the law?
Senator, we don't censor a speech, so I want to nip that misimpression in the bud.
You mean the Nina Jankowicz lady? The disinformation board that was under him when he, like, at this time last year, when he had to go before the Senate Appropriations Committee, and that was Alejandro Mayorkas, and testify as to whether or not he knew what the board was going to do and how they were going to actually try to silence what they determined to be disinformation. And, like, remember when she He was asked whether or not the Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, and he couldn't answer the question. But he doesn't. He also wants to claim that they don't. They don't control speech. What? Does anybody believe that? I have a bridge to sell you. If you do, welcome back to the program. I mean, that was like a year ago, almost a year ago. It was May 4th when he testified on that. He had to go and clarify what the DHS disinformation board, when all of that broke. He had to go and clarify what that meant. And he couldn't really. No. I want to nip that in the bud. We don't censor speech. We don't do that. I kind of want to disagree. Right. Oh, like, remember that time, too, when they, DHS, when they were telling people to not talk about how the Border Patrol agents were using reins to steer their horses and not, like, whipping people? There was also that. But that's not controlling people's speech, right? I mean, I don't know how anyone can believe. I mean, I don't believe it. Make sure that you sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. A lot of good stuff that goes up there. There were a couple of pieces yesterday. And, of course, I also send out my daily prep email. And you can see some of the stuff that we're hitting in the program. I add some stuff on in the morning, but you can see some of the things that we're hitting at in the morning. So make sure that you sign up for that over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I also have a note section that I put all of the weird stuff that doesn't go in a newsletter. I put it in the notes. And find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
It is our Vice President, Kamala Harris. Well, she had a lot of things that could have categorized.
Unburdened by what has been.
We could have put right here in Today in Stupidity. But here's her talking about how entrepreneurs are small business. We'll talk about that when she's done.
You know, I think that when we think about the SBA, it's about small businesses. But entrepreneurs are also small businesses.
Yeah.
I've started to use the two phrases together. Because we don't want to leave anyone out because they're the same kind of people. They actually are the same people.
What is she talking about?
Entrepreneurs start small businesses. But small businesses themselves, if they want to be an extent of the individual, I guess you can. But why would you even try and make a comparison or even a differentiation of the two?
I mean, is there a speech that she has given where people are like, you know what, that was good. And she really kind of knocked it out of the park. I don't think so. Yeah. Folks, that does it for us this afternoon. It went by fast, but see, that's what happens when we hang together and deal with it all. We'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. God bless.